Hi everybody, welcome back to another episode and Shops Health and Wellness section. I remain your host, Sarah Shops. Yes, welcome to my podcast. On today's episode, I have a guest on the show and she's a certified clinical psychologist and mindfulness therapist. And also she's a mental health advocate. Passion is geared towards emotions, biological, social and behavioral aspect of human functioning along life's and also dealing with psychological issues to establish psychological awareness. Welcome to the show, Dr. Nyanwa. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Okay, so we are going to be talking about bipolar disorder, and a lot of people have questions about this particular disorder. Some don't even know if they have, and some are not even diagnosed at all. And we all need deep understanding about this particular disorder. But before you would go straight into bipolar disorder, I would like you to explain what mental illness actually means.
Okay. Before I talk about mental illness, I want to talk about mental health first, and I'll delve into mental illness. Yeah, so mental health is a state of well-being that affects our social, physical, emotional well-being. So it affects the way we think, the way we feel, and also our physical disposition. So mental health is the ability for you to realize your potential, for an individual to realize his or her potential ability to cope with normal stresses of life, and also contribute meaningfully in the society when he or she counts himself. So now what is now mental illness? Is mental illness adjustments in the state of well-being. So disturbances in the area of your social life, area of your emotional life, area of behavioral. So mental illness is that disturbances in this. So they affect the way the person thinks, feels, and behaves. So in a situation whereby someone is very jovial or outgoing, all of a sudden you see that the person has becomes socially withdrawn, so he doesn't want to keep any social life or relationship with others, then you know something is definitely wrong with that. And so you know mental illnesses are just disturbances in the domain job. So this domain could be affected.
Thank you so much for that. So now let's now go deep into today's topic. If you want to explain bipolar disorder to a layman, how would you or what would you call bipolar disorder?
Bipolar disorder is basically mood problems, mood disorders. So, you know, when we experience mood changes in response to life's event, some people's mood fluctuates up and down more than usual. Everybody has their, you know, off days. Everybody has these, has the days where they are kind of down low. But for some people, they have extreme mood swings. So it is kind of unusual. So it's just, you know, when we talk about bipolar, it's two poles. So at the end of one pole is the elated mood, very excited, you know, going up and down, the person has energy. And on the other end, that's the other pole. Person is depressed, down, and, you know, low. So it's two poles. Sometimes the individual can present just the manic episode. That means the elated mood. And sometimes the individual can present the low mood. That's the depressive episode. And sometimes it could be the two. So the person is high at this time, and the next minute the person is very, very down. That's just bipolar to a layman.
So what are the symptoms that is being experienced in manic phase?
Okay, so for manic phase, the symptoms, there is increase in energy level. There's increase in energy level, then less need of sleep. So sometimes the individuals don't even find the day they won't sleep because the energy level is really high. Then they are easily distracted in the sense that they have tasks to do, and you know they've not even completed the task, they're jumping another one. So they're easily distracted, they are not stable, a flight of ideas. So many ideas rushing through their memory. They want to do this, they want to achieve that, they want to get as many things done at clear time. So they have flights of ideas, so many ideas in their head, and they don't even accomplish those ideas. Then delusion
delusion of grandeur is another symptom. So this grandeur delusion, you know, posing themselves to what they actually are not. So it's just delusion. You know, some will tell you that they are the president's daughter. Some will say that, oh, this person is close. You know, just wants to become what they are not. It's because that state of mind has been affected. As I, you know, they just keep talking that way. So they have, we call it delusions of grandeur. Delusions are false beliefs that they hold on to that are not real. Then they have pressured pitch. So you see them always keen, you know, their speech is so pressured that blah, blah, just talking and no one keep quiet. Then impact self-esteem. So they, you know, they have this self-esteem that is inflated ego. They just feel on top of the world. If it's anybody, they feel they can achieve anything. These are some of the symptoms of an form. Then they have raising thought. Then focus on getting things done, but does not accomplish much. The involvement in risky activity. So I've seen a client that presented bipolar disorder, you know, going to the roof or claiming that he wants to jump down, that he could actually fly. So, you know, with that, you know that so something is actually going on in this person's mind, because sometimes bipolar can present psychosis. Then paranoid also, so they have feelings of people after their life, after their well-being. They could have emotional reactions like undue irritability, anger, and the rest. And they have increased sexual drive. So they have increased sexual drive, feel to just want to go out. They have increased in libido. These are some of the symptoms of manic phase. And to reiterate what I said again, like bipolar can present psychosis at times, so they could present psychotic features. So it's not just the mood problems again, they could have psychotic features like gradually losing touch with reality. So when we talk about psychotic features, it's just like the person is gradually losing touch with reality.
Great. Okay, so what about the depressive period? What do they experience during the depressive period?
So the symptoms of depressive period, there is constant feeling of sadness or worthlessness. So the person feels sad most times, you know, excessive sadness and worthlessness, and sleeping too much or too little. So some have irregular sleep patterns. So they're just sleeping too much, wants to get out of bed, or they sleep too little. Then feeling tired and having little energy. So some don't even have energy at all. So they're always tired. You know, you ask them what's wrong. You know, mentally they are drained. Then problem focusing, poor concentration, change in eating patterns. Some eat too much, some eat too little, or not at all. Then sometimes it could present either ideation or attempt. So they have either ideation, want to take their lives and the rest. Then persistent loss of interest in activities or once enjoyed activities. You know, there are social activities that could actually get people out of their mood. So now they have persistent loss of interest in activities or once enjoyed activities. If they are socially withdrawn, they don't want to relate to anybody. Then lack of motivation to anything. You know, you even tell them, boy, can you do, if you want to do this, you don't even have the motivation to do anything. Then reduce libido, so reduce sexual drive. So that's just some of the symptoms of depression, depressive episode. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for that. So what are the causes of bipolar disorder, and is it genetic?
Yeah, so the root cause for mental illnesses are not known actually. So there are still lots of research that has been done, like what are the causes of illnesses, mental problems. So there's no one known cause. Like, okay, if you do this, then definitely you're going to come down with a mental illness. But there are risk factors. So we call them risk factors. So these are factors that can predispose the individuals or the group of people to having mental illness. So we call it risk factors instead of saying causes. Because when you say causes, look like, okay, so this can cause this. But we would rather say risk factors. And for risk factors, there are biological factors, there are psychological factors, and social factors. So for the biological factors, genetics, yes. So genetics is one of the risk factors for bipolar disorder. In fact, it is very, very, if there is a history of bipolar disorder in the family, there is a likely chance that another member of the family comes down with the illness. So it's really positive. If it is really positive in the family, the father has it, there is a likely chance that another child or one of the children, or two or three of the children in the family can come down with the illness. So genetics is very one of the risk factors for bipolar disorder. Then the other risk factor is that there are chemical substances, I mean for biological factors, there's chemical substances in the brain, you know, that secrete, like these chemical substances are to secrete to some extent, to a level where the brain can actually function. So now if the secretion is too much or too low, it could affect the person's mental state and can cause bipolar disorder. Then medical conditions too. So some people go through some medical conditions that could present bipolar disorder. So people taking care of, let's say, chronic illnesses could present the depressive etiology. Psychological factors, yes, we all know stress. Stress would worsen or cause issues like this. I mean, mental illnesses. So that is why it is important for an individual to take care of himself or herself, to take care of anything like work-related stress. Life is stressful on its own. Like, Lagos is stressful. Life is stressful everywhere. You see, but you need to be able to manage your stress level, because stress is basically when the pressure is more than the resources. So when the pressure is more than the resources, take care of what you are going to, then become stress for the individual. Then another psychological factor is substance abuse. Yeah. So there are substance abuse. If someone engages in psychoactive substance, it could lead or cause bipolar disorder. Yes, so there are some substances that could actually cause bipolar disorder or worsen bipolar disorder.
With all these symptoms now, how can somebody identify someone that has bipolar disorder? Like, what are the things, though you mentioned the symptoms that they will be exhibiting both in manic and depressive period, but how can I identify someone that has bipolar disorder? Just me looking at the way they behave and the normal thing, you know. Sometimes a lot of people experience this mood swing, and there are other things that in the symptoms that some people exhibit on a normal day that we feel like it's just a normal thing. But identifying those that have bipolar disorder, how can somebody know? Because there are sometimes in family, they might have someone that has bipolar disorder, but then they don't know that this person has this condition.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about signs and symptoms of mental illnesses generally, the individual itself might not even, of course, you know that there are some changes happening to me. But you know, when the brain is getting sick, you know, when we talk about mental disorder, it's just like the brain is getting sick. So when the brain is getting sick, the individuals around the person are the ones that point out to the individual that something is actually wrong. Because in three months ago, you were not this, but these are the experiences you're exhibiting, is something wrong. So there are usually unusual experiences. So we call them unusual behaviors or unusual experiences. So for the person that is at the manic phase, you know, with everything I've mentioned before, inflated mood, inflated ego, eating too much, you know, crack juice, and the person is just all lousy everywhere. Mm. You know, it could be like, oh, this person is probably is another person, or is another let's say another personality that is coming out. But you know, you notice all of a sudden that the person is withdrawn again, and you know, he just wants to be alone. He's already having thoughts of suicide. He's not relating. See, when experiences happen, the first thing you notice is that the person doesn't even want to relate with individuals in the family. The person wants, like, you know, there's this social withdrawal and not want to help anybody, but the person is having issues relating to that. So you have the person's emotions everywhere. So today is angry, today is sad, today is moody. You know, you just have loving symptoms flying around. But another thing is, one needs to be careful. So, you know, some other illnesses that could present similar symptoms. So I won't say, oh, this person is presenting this, so this person has bipolar disorder. It's better to get the diagnosis from a mental health professional or specialist, you know, professionals that are trained in this field, instead of you just, or family just labeling the individual. So it's better for them to get that. So once they see some unusual behaviors or experience, get the person to a facility or to see a mental health professional that can treat, manage person, instead of you just, oh, the person has it, you know, you self-diagnose and the person goes around, and you know, by the time you get the person professional, they'll be able to help person, you know, with, let's say, treatment that could help, like patients and the rest. So it's better for you to get the diagnosis.
Thank you so much. I want to give you an illustration or example. Okay, so I have someone very close to me. This person, sometimes her mood is, she's just, her mood is just up. Like, you see her, she's all over, everywhere. Just little thing can annoy this person, and she'll be in that depressive state for, like, she can be in that depressive state for, like, let's say 8 hours. She would be moody almost all day. For this type of person, what are we going to call our own condition?
Okay. So, I get you. She's all, I know, all chatty, and probably something happens, she becomes very moody.
Yeah.
And she could be in that mood for as long as 8 hours. Is that it? How often does that happen? So is it every day or every week?
Like, it's not all the time, but most time.
Okay. So for that individual, what I would advise is just let us see a therapist, because, you know, never can. So it is what you actually feel. Something happens and she becomes OCD. There could be some psychological factors that actually causing her to go into that mode. And, you know, she has not said that or explained whatever is going through her. You, what you're saying is just the physical disposition, what she does when something she has that low mood in her. And, you know, she just needs be in that space. So I will not be in a rush. This is what is going on with her. Except until she sees a professional. So for someone like her, I would advise that she talks to a professional. Probably it could be a case of emotional irregularity. The person just needs to talk about what's going on and have that from psychological or social culture. So it's just for her to talk to a professional, clinical psychologist, therapist, you know, to understand why she's acting, behaving like that. So some people cannot even manage their emotional reaction. After you see them going like deep on. And you know, one thing about mental illness, if it is not treated or managed as the initial phase when the presentations are still mild, it becomes severe over time. And that's when people become, you know, people are presented in facilities before and they will tell you that, oh, this thing, oh, they noticed about like 5 years ago. So why didn't you come for treatment? That, oh, they felt that the person will outgrow it or it's not something of concern. So it is until the symptoms are not severe, that's when you keep coming in for treatment. So that's why I thought we don't have to wait till your symptoms are severe. As soon as I notice that my mood is everywhere, I'm having some issues with relationships, interpersonal problems and the rest. The moment you identify that, seek out for help. And, you know, the good thing is you can go online and just, you know, set up clinic psychology. You find them, you know someone that knows a professional. So you just talk to the right person. So for the individual, I would just advise that person to take care of.
All right, thank you for that, Doctor. What are the types of bipolar disorder?
Yes, so for the type of bipolar disorder, there is bipolar 1.
Yeah.
And for bipolar 1, the person is presenting basically manic episode.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll still talk about the clinical pictures, too, but let me talk about the type. So for bipolar 1, the person is presenting the person is in the manic phase. So manic phase is like person has deleted mood, you know, can't get to sleep, the person is very restless. So you see some people pacing up and down, you know, talking to themselves, you know, they ask like of ideas. I only talk about these illnesses. Mental illnesses actually interferes with your day-to-day activities. So mental health is not the absence of illnesses and so forth. When the illnesses interferes with your day-to-day activities, then something is wrong. I'm supposed to do this today, but I can't even focus or get those things done because my mental state has been affected. Then the person needs to see professionals. So bipolar 1 presents manic episode, basically. Then there's bipolar 2. That's type 1. Then the type 2 is bipolar 2. So bipolar 2 present depressive episode. So the person is, you know, they present all these symptoms of depression, low mood, and the rest. You know, for mood disorders, we have depression. Yeah. We have bipolar. Yeah. So depression, the person is just depressed. There's no form of manic phase or elated mood. But for bipolar, you're looking at two modes. That's the depression and the manic phase. So for bipolar, the person is presenting depressive episode. So it is at the point of probably interviewing the individual when I think doing your history taking, then there could be like a callback that, oh, in some 2 years ago, the person presented manic episode. So, you know, sometimes people just present just depression and you can't say, oh, because the person is presenting depression, does the person have depression? No. So in the course of you doing your intake with her, you understand that, oh, probably some months or years, but the person has presented manic episode. And that's the point that, okay, probably this person is having bipolar 2 now because this is depressive episode, no manic episode. Then cyclothymic. So cyclothymic is just irregularities in mood that happens over time. You know, it's usually shortly for the period it happens. The person is high, the person is low, then, you know, the person uses medication, probably the person is okay. Then happens again, you know. So it goes on for a very long time. But when you look at cyclothymic, it must have been on for like 2 years before the diagnosis is made. So the person has irregularities in mood, today up, today down, and the rest. Then other specified bipolar related disorders. So these ones, they don't really fit into the criteria for bipolar disorder. that. So the person just having irregularities in mood and the rest. So you can't say, you know, we use our diagnostic manual before we could make diagnosis. So there are some mental challenges, mental health challenges that doesn't fit into the criteria of a diagnosis. So you just, okay, this is underspecified, although the person is having these two related, these two modes, related and depressive mode, but it does not yet fit in here. So the person is just placed on medications and what. And, you know, for this other specified bipolar related disorder, it's usually short lived. It doesn't, it's not something that goes on, for example, it's just short lived. As soon as the person is being taken care of, then it goes away. Then the last one, substance induced bipolar disorder. You know, I said it looks like some substance that could induce bipolar disorder. So substance like ecstasy, marijuana could induce bipolar disorder. Then let me just talk about the clinical features.
Okay.
Episodes of bipolar disorder can be one, hypomanic. I didn't really talk about hypomanic because for hypomanic phase, the person is still very functional. It's not extreme. It's not a severe mood condition. So hypomanic is, you know, the person is still, you know, there are some people that are very, you know some individuals that have, they have pressure to speak, you know, they just have flight of ideas. They have everything going for them. They just want to talk and, you know, they are jumpy and they are everywhere. So for it to be hypomanic phase, they still have ideas. You know, they wake up 3 a.m. and they just want to write down so many things that is coming to their head. So the person is still very functional. It's not affecting the day-to-day activities of a person. But, you know, for these individuals, if there is no proper, if proper attention is not taken, it could tilt toward manic phase. And that is why we are saying episodes can be hypomanic. Then there could be manic without psychotic symptoms. So there are manic episodes without psychotic symptoms. It's just that the mood is like extremely elated. Then there is manic with psychotic symptoms. You know, when we talk about psychotic symptoms, that person is gradually losing cultural reality. So there could be manic episodes with psychotic symptoms. Then there is mild or moderate depression. Then there is severe depression without these symptoms. And there are also severe depression with psychotic symptoms. And the episodes can be mixed. Sometimes that the person is high today, the person is low tomorrow. There are people that presented the mixed episode. So today or in 2 days, they're really high. And you know, the next day, they are down. In fact, some people will present high mood in the morning and, you know, at night, they're already down, depressed and so it could be mixed. So these are the clinical.
No, thank you so much for that, Dr. Nyeliwa. How can we differentiate between normal ups and downs and bipolar disorder?
Okay. So for ups and downs, people, we have our, I like calling this off. So, you know, it's just a mood thing. There are some situations that will bring about emotional reaction. So if I'm in traffic for a very long time and I'm all sweating in traffic, I could be very irritable at that moment. So it's just that the situation I find myself is actually bringing out that emotional reaction in me. But, you know, for moods that fluctuate, it's usually short-lived. So it can't be for a very long time in the sense that I could be off day, I could be off tomorrow, and probably the next tomorrow, I'm fine, like I'm back to myself, all happy again and the rest. But for bipolar disorders, like mood disorders, basically, it usually goes on for a long time. But when it becomes a challenge is when it's going on for days and weeks. So even when the person is being presented in a facility or is presented to see a professional, they will ask you, like, how long has it been for? So when you get like, oh, it has been on for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, yeah. So that is really a challenge. It's a serious problem because in 3 weeks, probably the person has not even been able to do or complete any reasonable task. So the person is just down, just low, or the person is everywhere and not even doing anything like meaningful in the society or around where you find yourself. So, you know, we look at not less than 2 weeks. So if the person has been on for more than or minimum of 2 weeks, then it's a serious problem, something that needs to be addressed.
Thank you so much for that. Okay, so let's assume that an individual has bipolar in a family. And
okay,
what advice would you give to the family members in order to help the person during any of the phase, either the manic phase or the depressive phase.
Okay, so either manic or depressive, those stages are, or phases are very, like, it's a condition that cannot be overlooked.
Okay.
So yes, it cannot be overlooked. So you can feel that's how the person is, or don't worry, the person will come around. As soon as you discover that there are unusual experiences, I mean, the family members, you get the person to see a professional. If I get into a facility, like a mental health facility where it can be treated, because the truth is that, you know, at manic episodes, they can't do anything because they are elated, they are very happy. So look at the case of the individual that wants to jump down from the story building, thinking that it could actually fly. You know, they could hurt themselves, they could hurt another person too, because they are not mentally fit. So something is wrong in their mental state. So you can't just leave them and say that, oh, this person won't get over it. So as soon as you've seen unusual experiences going on for days, like days, there's no break, it's just happening over that, going on 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, you get the person to see a professional. And you know, there are medications too that could help with the person's mood, but the person has to see a mental health professional. They would then please do support these individuals. So it's not something that they actually want for themselves, or nobody plans for mental health challenges. Sometimes it happens, and we just have to support these individuals. You know, I like to talk about the support a lot, because this is what keeps the individual going at times. So these are protective factors, like connect to the support system, which is the family. It could be it could be stressful for the family members to understand, but you know, you just have to give them the support, try to be nicer with words when you're talking to them, you know, try to be nicer, and if they need any help, try and give them the support that is needed.
All right, thank you so much for that. You mentioned try and say some words that are reasonable, like in the process of supporting them. So what are the words you can say to somebody that have bipolar disorder, and what are the words you cannot say to someone that has bipolar disorder?
Okay, so I said, like, be nicer with words. You know, there are some derogatory words, like, oh, this person has a mental illness, or as I used to do, oh, it's back again. You know, these are derogatory words, like, oh, this one is a sufferer of mental health issues. You know, these are derogatory words. It's just like you labeling them. So you could be nicer with words, and, you know, just help them. You know, these individuals are breaking. That is the point. Like, they are breaking down. And if people around them are contributing to the fact that this is affecting them, it could break them the more. So they are breaking also. So if people around them, I'll let them know that, okay, we care for you. So as to avoid what we call passive stigma. You know, there is a social stigma against mental health issues already. And now the person is getting it from the first hand. I mean, the people around him, I mean, the family, to bring about passive stigma. And passive stigma is actually internal stigma. So the person doesn't even feel good or happy around people. You know, they just believe that, so because I'm suffering with them, then I have to be on my own. I don't want to go out. Or, you know, it could affect their self-esteem and rest. So just be nicer with work.
So what are the lifestyle changes that you would advise someone with bipolar disorder to follow? Because Lagos is even stressful. Talk less of adding more stress to it, which can actually lead to something else. So what are the lifestyle changes that you can recommend?
Okay, so the first thing I would say is, please take your medications as prescribed by the mental health professional. So some people, once they see that their symptoms are being resolved, then they feel that there's no need for them to continue with their medication. So I'm taking it that because this is a lifestyle, so you just know that, if you find I have to pop in my medications every or twice a day, it's a lifestyle you have to incorporate. You don't just see because, oh, I don't have income scan, then I won't stop my medication. Please don't stop your medication. If the doctor has not advised you to so continue your medications, the medications address the symptoms and even your mood. So they are most stabilizers and the ones that are affected to symptoms. Then drink lots of water. Please, yes, so be don't be dehydrated, just keep taking lots of water. Then do relax, take a regular break from work or anything that stresses you. Learn to identify your triggers and, you know, avoid if it is avoidable, or try to take regular break so you know that, oh, this is my break time. Or even you don't have to work very very long time before you take your break. I mean, some people can even do 1 year without taking their little, please try to take a break, because stress is an important, or let me say, yes, trigger for bipolar. Once the person is stressed, it could bring about, even though you're using your medications, and that's what I'm saying, you should address that. It's learn to know when you are stressed and also take care of yourself. Then do more of relaxation, the deep breathing exercises, the body and the mindfulness meditation, to do lots of exercise and relaxation techniques. And exercise too, if you decide to, because these are like lifestyle changes. It doesn't have to be some extremeness. Just really try to make up or you go to work or you go about speed. And exercise is just actually preparing you for the day. So like, when I wake up, I do my shoulder exercise, my hand, fingers, ears, you know, I'm about half a day. So those are the lifestyle. And eat healthy. Yes, eat healthy. You don't have to keep at food, like a healthy, lots of vegetables, fruits, and the rest healthy. And please stay away from psychoactive substances. Mm-hmm. Alcohol, cigarette, marijuana, crack, all of these psychoactive substances. You need to stay away from them. And that's why I said drink lots of water. So you know that the moment you feel like taking alcohol or taking it, you can just replace them with water. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for that.
I have to add to that. Is we are still in psychotherapy sessions with your therapist. Don't say that because you're fine now, you feel in control of your life and everything. I need to help psychotherapists. You can try to finish your therapy sessions with your psychologist. So you continue with your sessions, take your medications.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for that. So what are the different types of therapy people to treat bipolar disorder?
Okay. So there are different types of therapy. I don't know if I should mention. Okay. Let me just mention therapy, because I don't know, you know, the words can be because there is the CBT, that's the cognitive behavioral therapy. So cognitive behavioral therapy is working on the person's cognition and also the behavioral aspect of the person. So we call it CBT, that's cognitive behavioral therapy. Cognition, that's the thought processes and also the behavioral aspect of the person. Then there's DBT too. So DBT will look at the direct behavioral therapy. So that one looks at mindfulness, it looks at emotional regulations basically. And sometimes these individuals suffering from bipolar disorders have their emotions everywhere, so they can't manage some of their emotions. As I see them having some aggravated symptoms, so DBT will work better for people that has emotions issues. So emotional irregularity, so it looks at the emotion regulations, mindfulness, and the rest. And there is ACT, so ACT, that's the acceptance and commitment therapy. So, you know, sometimes, you know, the person just needs to understand that there is this I'm taking care of, like this is an issue or challenge I'm taking care of. So acceptance and commitment therapy will work better for the person. So the person will be able to like understand that I need to accept. It's only when you accept that there is a problem, you're not in denial, that you want to work on the problem. So that's it. There are other therapy techniques, but this will work better for bipolar.
Okay. I think that would be all for my own personal question. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to the conversation we've been having.
Or the question from me or from people that I've heard in the past is, can bipolar be treated?
Okay.
Yes, can it be treated? Yes, it can be. So there are treatment, there is treatment for bipolar disorder. And you know, I've said it when I was talking earlier. So there's the medications. So there are medications for bipolar disorder. So there are, we'll call it mood stabilizers that help with the individual's mood. And you know, we have the antidepressant and antipsychotic medication that could help. So the person, there are medications for that and also psychotherapy. So psychotherapy is a top therapy for the psychologist to the person. So when the medication is working on the other end and take care of the chemical substances in the brain and also the person's symptoms, resolving the symptoms, psychotherapy will help the person, you know, have more control over his emotions and mood. I know, get to understand the triggers for me being in this kind of mood. So that's why medication and psychotherapy, very like they are good fit in taking care of their challenges and also the supportive care. Their family and friends, so the person can even have or join some group. You know, get to understand that it's not only me creating this problem. So you know, there are supportive groups online. Like, I can check them, you see that, oh, so this thing also has, and you know, the person is doing well in doing well with his life, moving on. And so, you know, so many people with bipolar, like who suffer bipolar, they are still doing very well. So it's not the end of the road, or it's not extent. It's just an illness that can be managed. And thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much, Dr. Enyoluwa. Okay, so I want to ask now that, do you have a forum where you do private, you have section with people so people can walk up to you and tell you, I have this issue and I need you to help me with it?
Okay, so I currently volunteer for some organizations. I mean, people who help individuals with mental health issues, because, you know, mental health can be very, mental health treatment can be expensive and it's not easily accessible in Nigeria like that. You get to the federal offices and say, oh, there's no space, space, and your private can be very expensive. There are groups, there are organizations that form up like a body to help such individuals. So what do is, you know, you can easily chat with board off, and then they pick the person with registered psychology, then you go psychologist then. So I know I volunteer for Afrations. Afrations is basically for women. So okay. Women who have issues with their mental state, domestic violence, and the rest. So you could actually, there's a app for you to download the app. You can chat up the app, you know, if you can get to see a professional. Then there is money to mentally awareness for mentally awareness for Nigeria.
Okay.
So money. So by the time you go to money, just money, money. By the time you're typing money, see the body to really chat and assess professional. So they'll pick this person up. So there are bodies. Even, you know, having my bio online, people can even chat to you about something and say, okay, this is how I feel. I got your contacts from, here. And, you know, with this, we've been able to talk to. Sometimes I just direct persons. If I know that these individuals might need to have a proper session, so I just direct them to this body. Okay. I currently work with Health Connect, so the person can download the app and also talk to have access to the clinical psychology.
That's great.
To address whatever mental issues they have.
Okay. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for this wonderful time. Such an informative and educative period with you.
Yeah, so LinkedIn is fine. I could be sent messages on LinkedIn. I think I'm kind of active on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And the person can also check me out on Instagram, probably send me a DM. That's at Ainoyeluwa.
Ainoyeluwa. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you much for everything. We really appreciate it. Do have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. Do have a wonderful week ahead and a wonderful day. Bye. Ugh.